Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I begin my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me." He said, "They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that is reserved for intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I do not want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ around the world to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to know Him and grow up in Him. Hallelujah. Today I'm going to be speaking about spiritual understanding. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20, "Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit, in malice, yes, be children, but in understanding, be men." If we use our minds to understand the world around us, we will end up judging and getting angry. But Paul prayed for this young church to get wisdom and understanding. We read in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, "For this cause, ye also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." The word understanding in Strong's is number 4907. It's taken from other words. It means mentally putting it all together. That is intelligence or intellect, by implication, knowledge and understanding. Also, we read in Proverbs chapter 16. This is Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 16. "How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding than to be chosen than silver?" Proverbs 16 and 17 says, "The highway of the upright is to depart from evil, and he that keepeth his way preserves his soul." You need understanding for your salvation and take responsibility for your soul and your calling by listening to God. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18, he says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." Also, we read again in Proverbs chapter 4. I'm reading from verses 1 to 7. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." Verse 2, "For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law." Verse 3, "For I was my father's son, tender only, beloved in the sight of my mother." Verse 4, "He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live." Verse 5, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth." Verse 6, "Forsake not her, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." Verse 7. "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." Many lack spiritual wisdom and never get understanding. There is a process and steps to get understanding. Number 1. The fear of the Lord. Number 2. Knowledge of the truth. Number 3, obedience to the Spirit. Number four, experience. Number five, wisdom. And finally, number six, understanding. You cannot make a good start without the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1 and verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." You need the fear of the Lord to work out your salvation. Paul said it in Philippians 2 and 12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Some reach level 2 in this list, but at the end of their life, they only have a few isolated truths to share, but do not know how it all fits together. You cannot get understanding without being submitted to someone who is following Jesus. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7, "Consider what I say, and the Lord will give thee understanding in all things." Many are satisfied with just knowledge and then mix it with natural wisdom, fill in the gaps in their partially completed puzzle, which has more questions than answers because they did not like conviction. You cannot have much truth without getting a taste for conviction and repentance. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1, "Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies." Knowledge puffs up if you do not have a good relationship with the Lord and will put pressure on a weak foundation. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." When you stop asking God what to do and use your mind instead, that is not spiritual. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding." Verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." For more information on balancing knowledge with wisdom, please read the chapter on balancing knowledge and wisdom in the book Light by Joseph Hedgecock. Love is needed to reach level 3 in this list, which is obedience. There are many commands, but each one requires a certain amount of love to obey. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." For more information on how to develop the love of God, please read the book How Love Grows by Joseph Hedgecock. You should be on the narrow way. Many are unwilling to get uncomfortable, so they never reach level 5. But we have to be ready for anything. And James says here in James chapter 1, I'm reading from verse 1. I'm reading from verses 1 to 5. And James says this, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad, greetings." Verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." Verse 3, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Verse 4, "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking and wanting nothing." Verse 5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that he giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Your calling does not change, so if you do not come the easy way, you have to face everything that is part of your calling anyway. Paul said in Romans chapter 11 and verse 29, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." God has called you to be a lighthouse for those who are shipwrecked in the storms of life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14, 15, and 16, I'm reading, Verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all those that are in the house. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The storms will come, and you have to be ready for the storms yourself and to rescue others too that are perishing. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 24 to 27. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Verse 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26. And every one that hears these sayings of mine, and does them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. Verse 27. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. If you fail to get wisdom, you will end up on a way that seems right. In Proverbs chapter 16, I'm reading from verses 19 to 25. Proverbs 16 and verse 19. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Verse 20. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whosoever trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Verse 21. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Verse 22. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instructions of fools is folly. Verse 23. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Verse 24. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, and sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. Verse 25. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Wisdom is available now by grace if you are born again. However, you still need a good understanding that are in the steps I've mentioned. Make sure that you humble yourself and admit that you have been lazy and did not work on your relationship with God. Start by denying yourself and rely on the Spirit of truth. The witness of the Spirit is one of the three infallible witnesses so that you can come to truth and just step out by faith and obey whatever the Holy Spirit directs. Please refer to the book, The Three Infallible Witnesses by Joseph Hitchcock. James speaks about this last minute wisdom here. In James chapter 1 and verse 6, 7 and 8, I'm reading. This is the book of James, chapter 1, verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7. And let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you just listen with your mind and ask other people what they think, you will end up like the waves of the sea, tossed to and fro. There is a lot of wisdom that's available from God, but that wisdom is based on God's perspective of things, not human or natural discernment. God says in Isaiah 46 and verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God sees clearly, but we see dimly. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even also as I am known. God has the answer for everything, but you still need to believe. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You need to test what you hear and not use your mind to come to truth. Jesus said to his own disciples in John chapter 16, I'm reading verses 12 to 14. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Never use your mind to come to the truth. Only the Holy Spirit can lead you into all truth. Paul was speaking about the church of the last generation. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 7, he said, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We know in these last days there will be leaders who are comforting people who need to repent. The leaders of the last generation are like children playing on a roundabout in the playground, and they are moving but just going around and around, living in spiritualized flesh. Paul had to say in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, he said, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Your best help is the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4 and 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Obeying the Spirit of truth is part of following Jesus. We read in John 14 and verse 5, and Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way? Do not be like Thomas, who lacked understanding after 3 years in the best ministry under Jesus. In John chapter 20, I'm reading verse 26 to 30. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Verse 27, then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Verse 28, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Verse 29, and Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Thomas never wrote a gospel account, possibly because he used his mind too much and ran out of time. If you have to see before you believe, you will also run out of time. Those early disciples had an opportunity to write down the exact steps that had to be made for someone to be saved and enter heaven, but they did not. Christianity is not just another religion, but a relationship with a living God. They only wrote what the Holy Spirit told them to write. John knew Jesus. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we read, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. Verse 2. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto thee that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. Instead, the gospel writers wrote in detail the parables and were honest about the way that they tried to understand those parables using their minds again and again. Peter's mistakes in the gospel account that he made using his mind have helped many that have a heart after God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 4, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lived by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. Paul was weak, but through God's power, he was able to help the Corinthians, the disciples that were qualified to write, could have written a much longer account of all the miracles Jesus did, confirming that he was the Christ. We read in John chapter 20 and verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. However, we read in John 6 and verse 26, and Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. God wants you to believe and follow him, not for what he provides. You should follow Jesus because you love him and you love the truth. We read in John 14 and verse 6, and Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you know that he is the way, and you just follow, then it gets clearer and clearer by faith what you need to do. The gospel writers left the reader with a clear understanding to follow him. You must deny yourself and take up your cross. They highlighted their own mistakes, and those qualified to do the work of the ministry were those filled with and led by the Holy Spirit. We read in Luke 9, 23 to 26, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Verse 25, for what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself, or be a castaway? Verse 26, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, and of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. You might believe Jesus is Lord when he comes back with all his holy angels. However, he is Lord now. And if you keep using your mind, then you do not believe that he is Lord in your heart. At least Thomas got the opportunity to believe based on seeing the risen Christ. He got that opportunity because he had given up everything to follow Christ. Have you done that? Paul said in Philippians 2 and verse 11, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Everyone will confess Jesus is Lord anyway. So that doesn't mean that everyone will be saved. Make sure he is your Lord now, and that you are actively seeking and doing the will of God. Jesus warned us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of the Father, which is in heaven. on page 133 of the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 9, on the importance of lordship, Joseph Hitchcock, at the start of the chapter, writes, "You may wonder why I'm including a chapter on the lordship issue. I've written about this so much already. This is why, knowing all about lordship and truly submitting to Jesus as Lord are two entirely different things. Many of you have dealt with the lordship to a certain degree, or have submitted to the Lord and then given up. This book focuses on doing the truth you know. Knowing about Jesus' lordship will never produce change if you do not follow through by humbling yourself before him. Stop right now. Ask the Spirit if you are submitted to Jesus as Lord or if you are Lord in the flesh. Do not put this off. You will never become who you say you want to be if you do not face this decision honestly. You must focus on Jesus' lordship until it is settled. The decision to submit is made in a moment, but it must be followed by maintaining that decision. He is the Lord, and you are not. Do you believe this? Does your life show you believe this?" Thomas did not doubt later that the upper room experience, seeing Jesus, was just a vision or a mirage. He had no doubts because he had gotten to know Jesus, recognized the voice and mannerisms of Jesus, even his response to suffering and hardships. He had counted the cost to follow and be with Jesus for 3 years. This was critical for his salvation. You have to pay a price to follow and get to know Christ now. Only by being in his presence every day will you ever get to know Jesus. When Jesus spoke to Thomas, he knew immediately, based on the sound of his voice, that it was Jesus. He did not have to look at his hands and his feet. Jesus said in John 10, 27 and 28, he said, "My sheep hear my voice and know them and they follow me." How close are you to Jesus really? Are you hearing his voice every day or just some of the time? Are you listening to a wrong voice instead? Jesus said in John 10 and verse 14, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and they are known of me." If you really know him, you are following him by denying yourself and taking up your cross daily. And it's not possible to be deceived, to depart from truth. You have to use your natural mind first, then think about what you want and consult your own will before you hear a wrong voice. Jesus said in John 5:30, "I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which hath sent me." God wants you to believe and not doubt. If you have to see first before you believe, then you are only using a fraction of your faith. Faith that does not need to see is based on his true character and is based on his faithfulness, which does not change. God is the only one who never changes. We read in Numbers 23 and verse 19, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall not make it good?" You can also get understanding by taking his word seriously. If you decide now that God's word is always right, whether it makes sense or not, then you will make rapid progress. Our inheritance is by faith, not by understanding with the mind. On page 139 of the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 9, on the importance of lordship, Joseph writes, Many of you have heard me share about a revelation God gave me when I was a teenager. I took the easiest classes in school, but ran out of them in my senior year. One of the hardest classes was geometry. The book looked like Greek to me. I could not understand the questions, much less the answers. I had no background for it, and I had to pass every class, or I would not graduate. In my mind, there was no way I could pass that class. At that moment, the thought came to me, this is simple. You just do not understand it. That is why you have a teacher. If you listen to the teacher and do what he says, you will understand. And once you understand, it will be simple. Therefore, it is simple. You just do not understand it yet. I repeated that to myself. This is simple. I just don't understand it yet. So I listened to the teacher, even though I did not understand the subject matter. It shocked my parents when I finished the class with a score in the upper 90s. They thought my IQ had jumped 50 points, but all that changed was my attitude. Later on, when I completely broke before the Lord, I showed up in God's class. I had the exact same feeling I had in geometry class. I did not understand anything. The Father said, "This is simple. You just don't understand it yet. This is why you have a teacher, the Holy Spirit, living in you. If you will listen to the teacher and do what he says, then you will understand. Once you understand it, it will be simple. Therefore, it is simple." I repeated what he said. This is simple. I just don't understand it yet. This is why I have a teacher. Joseph then asked this question, "Do you become the teacher for your own life instead?" And he continued on page 140, saying, "The Holy Spirit is available 24 hours a day, even 7 days a week. He never sleeps. He does not have any other student when he teaches you. You can study any time you want. You are not required to sit in a classroom. You can be in the middle of the wilderness, and he is there. When you read your Bible, you may have no understanding of what you are reading. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit illuminates the Word and reveals truth to you. The devil is trying to develop an alternative system of learning through the internet. This is going to be a strong temptation for those who still use their mind to make decisions. However, understanding starts with a right attitude to God, His Word, and to the teacher, which is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will convict you on a regular basis, and all you have to do is recognize the truth and repent as you learn. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Your pastor may not tell you the truth. Take your salvation seriously. If not, you will be left behind. If you have spiritual wisdom, the world will be amazed. But they will also see that you're a bit foolish. We read in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned, ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." If someone in this world with just natural wisdom calls you foolish, then take that as a compliment. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4 and 10, "We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak and you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised." Deception comes when you are just using your natural wisdom. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3 and 18, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise." You should be listening to the Holy Spirit and not relying on natural wisdom. I don't have all the answers, but He has them all. Therefore, I have two sources of wisdom. Number one, wisdom that I've gained from walking with God for many years, being obedient, that I have proven through experience, but not without some mistakes. Number two, God's wisdom, by grace through faith. In time of trouble, I can ask him, and when he speaks, I obey instantly. This prophecy is about to be fulfilled, and Jesus said it in Matthew 25, verses 1 to 4. And Jesus said, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." Verse 2. "And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish." Verse 3. "And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them." Verse 4. "But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." Make sure that the oil in your lamp is filled, and take oil with you. Do not be like those foolish virgins. This oil represents the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the basis of your wisdom and your ability to see in the darkness. Take your lamps and your oil, spiritual wisdom, with you, or otherwise you are foolish. The foolish virgins had wisdom, but they only had the wisdom of this world. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 19, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he that taketh the wise in their own craftiness." I drop everything to follow whenever I hear his voice, and that makes me look foolish to the world. We read in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 20, 21 and 22. Verse 20, "And they straightway left their nets and followed him." Verse 21, "And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them." Verse 22, "And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." In the Amplified Bible, the word foolish in Matthew 25 is translated thoughtless, without forethought. Worldly wisdom will not save you. Those who are born again, that get left behind, do not believe they can become a castaway. This is also foolish. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9 and 27, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." John said in 1 John chapter 1 and verses 5 to 7, I'm reading, this is verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him no darkness at all." Verse 6, "If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." Verse 7, "And if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." The Holy Spirit of truth is revealing another sin again and again if you're walking in the light. Then John continues in verses 8 and 9. This is 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Verse 9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." You have the equipment you need to deal with sin. You have the forgiveness of sins. The Holy Spirit is truth, and he can show you where you open the door to sin. Do not be foolish and listen to the teacher. John said in 1 John chapter 3 and verses 7, 8, and 9, I'm reading. This is verse 7. He said, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he's righteous." Verse 8. "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Verse 9, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he's born of God. If the Holy Spirit told you to take off the whole day and said he will show you the root of your sin, would you accept that invitation? In the last days, God may do in one day by his Spirit what others take a lifetime to repent of. Some people think that sanctification takes forever, but they are resisting change, submission, and correction. Those who struggle with sanctification are not part of the body of Christ and do not submit to anyone else because they say no one is perfect. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2:10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You cannot expect to live in the flesh now and also get the privilege to rule and reign with Christ when he comes. We read in Revelation 20 and verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. If you are not changing, you are not in Christ. Abiding in Christ makes you holy. John says, there is always something to repent of. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. If you are not repenting, you are deceiving yourself. James says in James chapter 1, and I'm reading from verses 23 to 25, says, if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Verse 24, for he beholdeth himself and go his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. Verse 25, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. A doer of the word is the one who applies truth immediately with meekness and starts repenting. James says in James chapter 1 verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Our righteousness is by faith in what God tells us to do and not to do. We are seeking God's righteousness, not the righteousness of the law. The righteousness of God far exceeds the righteousness of the law because Jesus wrote the law. In the book of Jeremiah 23 and verse 6, it says, in his days Judah will be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name by whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Those who make him Lord will be righteous. Those who do not make him Lord will be unrighteous. Our salvation includes doing what he has ordained for us while we're on this earth. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we shall walk in them. Our salvation by grace through faith includes a specific plan. He will give you the grace to do his perfect will, and we must not resist our calling. John 4 and verse 34, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that hath sent me, and to finish his work. This is what Jesus taught us to pray. In Matthew chapter 6, I'm reading from verses 9 to 13. And it says here, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11, Give us this day our daily bread, verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those our debtors. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Do not seek blessings. Instead, ask God to send someone to tell you to repent if you're not doing His perfect will. This is why you should be part of the body of Christ, submitted to someone who's following Christ. The prayer revival is to ask God to only bless you when you're doing His perfect will. This is a good way to learn. God can make the exceptions, but you let Him decide. Trust Him. He knows best. Never seek blessings or special prayers of blessings. Otherwise, you'll end up deceiving yourself. The Aaronic blessing from the Old Testament is often used in churches that are deceived, following the traditions of men. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. God will keep you from evil after you deny yourself and take up your cross. If you are still a comfortable Christian living in the flesh, the quicker you reap what you are sowing, the quicker you will realize that you are not walking with God. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth of the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Either you are seeking His perfect will, or you're going back to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Using the knowledge of right and wrong is not trusting Him. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9, and to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. There are three types of righteousness. Number one, your own righteousness. Number two, the righteousness of the law. And number three, God's righteousness. When God does something, He is always right. You might listen to your prime minister or even to the president of the United States, but man is not always right, but they do what they think is right. But God is righteous because He is right all the time. You can also be right all the time if you listen to His voice. You might stop listening to what others think if you listen to God a lot more. Paul said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 21 and 22, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, there is no difference. By faith, you can have the righteousness of God. What a privilege. When we read in Matthew chapter 15, verses 13 and 14, but He answered and said, every plant which my Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Verse 14, let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Jesus says not to fund or give your time to the blind leaders, so they may fall in a ditch and hurt themselves, even using methods and principles from the Bible. Can make you blind if you rely on what you know rather than the Holy Spirit. When someone makes excuses for sin, or is following man's traditions, they are blind. Making sin acceptable or less painful is deceiving others. By leaving such leaders alone, they will soon come to a crisis and crash. Hopefully, they will have time to repent before it's too late. Jesus said in Luke 6 and 24, but woe unto him that is rich, for ye have received your consolation. Stop reading those books written by wealthy authors with big churches. The prosperity gospel is well funded, but it could be stopped if the people would realize that their messages are just another way that seems right. Get true riches instead, through repentance. Many have not paid the price to get understanding. They are now passing on half-truths instead. Leaders frequently offer special prayers to reverse curses that come from living in the flesh. But this is a lie. All curses come from sin. Do not support or finance a ministry that is not bringing some conviction. No real pastor will allow someone living in the flesh to feel uncomfortable. This is the devil's job. Jesus said in John 10, verses 10 and 11, he said, "The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and have that life more abundantly." Verse 11, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." A godly leader will help you to get to know God. A pastor is the shepherd of the local flock, and his calling is to lay down his life for the sheep and keep the wolves out and lead you into good pastures. He will recommend the school of hard knocks, not Bible school and theology where people use their minds. A good shepherd may not have all the answers, but he knows what the problem is because he has an understanding of sin. He directs you to people who have the answers you need. You cannot have life without being connected to Jesus. Perhaps you were on the narrow path before you started some studies using your natural mind. This is where many get off the narrow path. You started using your reasoning and understanding instead of letting the Lord direct you what to study. This is what happened to Eve. When she saw just worldly wisdom, she was tempted and sinned. We read in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Within God's creation and his written word, there are a lot of answers for life, and these have been given to the humble. But man in recent times has made many studies using the natural mind. Joseph Hitchcock says in his book, Sound Doctrine, on page 27, here is a parable. There was a man who had a sharp pain in his right side of his abdomen. He went to the clinic to see the doctor, and the doctor asked him to open his mouth and stick his tongue out. He said, "I see your problem. You have tonsillitis, and this is your lucky day. We have in our clinic today one of the nation's foremost surgeons who specializes in tonsillectomies. He will operate this afternoon, and after a few days of recovery, you can go home good as new." The man had a textbook operation, went home 2 days later, and the third day his appendix ruptured and he died. He was buried with a beautiful tonsillectomy. What good was that tonsillectomy when the problem was his appendicitis? Do you realize people die every day in hospitals because some doctor misdiagnosed their problem? They were treated improperly. 90% of good medicine is getting the right diagnosis. You need a good diagnosis to get to the root of your sin. You need spiritual wisdom. Also, you cannot do this without some discomfort. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7 and 10, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." When you present comfortable Christianity and a false humility, what you are offering is just another prison. If you do not stop sinning, you are still trapped. You cannot help anyone else until you save yourself first. You are deceiving yourself and you will never enter the kingdom of God until you repent of using your mind trying to understand the things of God. Joseph Hitchcock says, if you have a bright idea and it works, that came from God. If you try something and it does not work, that came from you. Some even received and developed a cure for mankind. And then they tried to use this also to make some money for themselves instead of trusting God. Paul said in 1 Timothy 6 and 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Maybe they assumed that the cure and medicine belonged to them and decided they knew what to do. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. When I was in research, God showed me many better ways of doing things, and I asked God if I should patent these things in my own name. And he said, certainly not. I just testified that the solution came from God. And when you fail to give the credit to God, that is also touching his glory. We read in the book of Acts, chapter 12, verses 21, 22, and 23. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. Verse 22. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. Verse 23. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. God told me when I was an engineer that he had many more inventions. I obeyed and God blessed me even more. All ideas that came from God belong to God, and he has the intellectual property rights of those things. God only reveals the answer if you are truly humble. We read in Matthew chapter 11, and I'm starting in verse 25 and I'm reading in verse 30. This is Matthew 11, verse 25. And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Verse 26, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Verse 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither know any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you are not yoked to him willingly, then you are foolish. You are trusting yourself and your own mind, which means you no longer have a righteousness by faith. Your wisdom is the wisdom of the world because you do not rely on what the Holy Spirit is saying now and you use human discernment instead. In theology, most have left out the Lordship at some point because they do not know how to live their lives without using their minds. If the theologians preach the truth, they would expose themselves and everyone would soon realize that they are hypocrites and do not hear his voice. Many replace hearing God with a prayer for light and revelation instead of repenting of their own lordship. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men and apt to teach and patient. Leaders who study with their minds all come to different conclusions and even attack each other. This is what is happening in the body of Christ today through the different denominations. This internal fighting proves that it's all from the flesh. those studying medicine or even theology using their natural minds end up quarreling because they cannot come to the truth. Romans 7:15 says, "For that which I do, I know not. For what I would try to do, I don't do it. But that which I hate, that I do." You might have started with good intentions, but will soon end up with shame if you keep using your mind trying to understand the things of God. When God created the earth, he said, "It is good." We read in Genesis chapter 1. I'm reading from Genesis chapter 1, different verses. In verse 4, he says, "And God saw the light, and it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness." Verse 10, "And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God said that it was good." Verse 12, "And the earth brought forth grass and herb, yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good." Verse 18, "And to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw it was good." Verse 21, "And God created great whales and even living creature that moveth with the waters, brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good." Verse 25, "And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and every good thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good." If you try to take that good and apply it using your mind, it will not be good. Only God knows how it all works and fits together, because he has understanding. Paul said in Romans 7 and 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Paul saw the law and tried to apply it with his mind, but failed. He discovered that he was not designed to understand things without God. Your mind was designed to hear from the Lord. That is why it's so big and made without wires. It can only be operated successfully by God. Through the new birth, the true operator inside man is the Holy Spirit, divine nature, because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. We read in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me." Medicine and theology is not wrong. The problem is studying those things with the carnal mind and not asking God what to do next. It's not about members and helping people medically. Someone healed could still end up in hell if they go on being Lord of their own lives. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 30, "And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body be cast into hell." Paul said to the church in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." To continue sinning shows that you lack understanding and you are foolish. John said in 1 John 2 and verse 7, "And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abideth forever." Good works will not save you. Good is the enemy of best. The best is to do his perfect will and to be righteous. Every believer has to cling now to hearing God through the Holy Spirit. Jesus is coming soon, and the whole church will be under pressure to do good works instead of seeking his perfect will. You need to be ready to suffer for the truth and explain to everyone what it means to make him Lord first. Paul put the Lordship of Jesus Christ first in his gospel messages. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, He said, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Salvation will follow along when a sinner realizes that all good works and your own efforts are filthy rags. At my salvation, someone told me that I needed to make him Lord and Savior, but they did not explain what lordship really means. Many preachers do not understand the need for lordship because they have not made him Lord themselves. Leaders just teach the doctrines of men in Bible school, and no one is allowed to test anything with the witness of the Spirit. Leaders were never taught how to learn spiritually themselves and never saw the need to make Jesus functional Lord in their studies. The functional lordship of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit and through true repentance is good news. And as a result, you will not be left behind. Iniquity stops when you make him functional Lord. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:19, "Nevertheless, the foundations of God stand as sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." If you use the name of the Lord, you should only do this if you're departing from iniquity. Time is running out. Jesus said in Matthew 24:7-8, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places." Verse 8, "And these are the beginning of sorrows." We have already been given several warnings. Do you want sorrows now, which come with correction and repentance that last for a short time, or live with all the sorrows and suffering that are coming on this earth? Jesus said it clearly in Luke 6:25. "Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep." To follow, you have to deny yourself and take up your cross. Those who are comfortable now will cry later. Those who mourn now will rejoice later. In these last days, many will fall away from the faith. You should be clinging to him daily, hear his voice, and do his perfect will. Only a few will be taken, and the world may say that they are missing, presumed dead. The world will not care if those who refuse to take the mark of the beast suddenly disappear. Those left behind will be devastated when they realize they missed the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 21:44, "And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but whosoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." Those left behind will not have any godly examples to help them, and they will have to learn to hear his voice clearly in a short time. Everyone left behind, including pastors, will all have made the same mistake. I was a self-made minister, and this started while I was studying for my PhD. I prayed for people, saw healings, and led many to the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord moved on me, and many good things happened. Looking back, I believe that this was because the people were hungry, and their own faith healed them. Also, God was using me because other pastors were not stepping out, believing for a miracle. When this happened, I started to become proud. I was Lord of my ministry and became proud of what I did because I had no foundation. When I heard Joseph Hedgecock for the first time, I could not easily accept that what I had done for my own lordship was going to burn up. I saw the fruit of what had happened through me by grace, and because of my calling, it had value to me. It was hard for me to face the fact that all these works did not have any eternal value, because I was in the flesh, even though this was part of the gifts and calling of God on my life. Aaron Ross, who was traveling with Joseph at the time, was the one who poked my carnal side and asked me, "Did you ask the Lord?" He said this several times when I was making phone calls, trying to invite others to join the meeting and hear Joseph. I had a four-day conference in my home in Derby, England. The living room of the house was tiny. Three people came the first night, including my landlord and my fiancée, Louise. Because there were only three people the first night, Joseph asked the Lord if he should cancel the other meetings. The Lord said no. Keith advertised the conference, and you are to preach every session, he advertised. Joseph ministered for 5 days. The first night was with a group of businessmen. After the second session in my home, it was only Aaron and Louise and myself listening to Joseph. After 5 days, I kept thinking, surely there must be something good in all that I've done. It did not take long for my pride to be exposed. I finally cried out to God and said, surely all these things I've done, they must have some value, if not just a little. The Holy Spirit came on me strongly, and God spoke clearly, saying, everything you have done in my name is as filthy rags in my sight. It has no value whatsoever in the kingdom. I felt nervous at first, and I knew I deserved judgment, and if God cast me into hell, he would be right. I tried my best prayer to calm my feelings and get my joy back, but nothing worked. Then I completely gave up, and when I stopped trying, I felt like a flood of his love, and in that moment, my heart was totally open to God, and the lordship issue was dealt with that day. Joseph Hitchcock said that I was easy to train because I never looked back. I still resisted some hard sayings, but I had made my decision to follow Christ, and I believed Joseph was following the Lord. I went on to be ordained as an apostolic minister. I chose to embrace the truth, confess all my sin, and repent from my heart. I was deceived because I spent time with those who were thought to be mature because of their ministry works, and in the process, I learned many ways that seem right. Joseph Hitchcock also describes his personal testimony of the breaking. He said, my father was a minister for 60 years. I grew up in a church and accepted Jesus as my Savior when I was a young boy. At that time, I enjoyed my salvation and loved the Lord. I enjoyed music, especially the old hymns. My favorite hymns were about having a relationship with God. One is entitled In the Garden. The words say, he walks with me, he talks with me, he tells me I'm his own. Many songs back then were about making a personal commitment to the Lord. When I was a teenager, I became a prodigal son. One reason for my rebellion was seeing so many hypocrites in the church. During those years, I did not have joy. I was saved, but did not enjoy fellowship with God. I knew I was God's child, but I also knew I was not a good one. Hebrews 12, verses 5 to 7, talks about the chastening and correction of the Lord. It may seem grievous at the time, but it was a confirmation that you are his child. If you are not convicted and corrected by the Lord, it's a confirmation that you are illegitimate. Hebrews 12, verse 8. I did things that were not Christ-like during the time of my life, but I never got away with it. I was always convicted. I used alcohol and did other foolish things to resist the Lord and drown out his voice speaking to me. After leaving home, I lived in Chicago, Illinois, and was involved in several dangerous situations. I was reckless up to a certain point. There was a line my friends crossed that regularly led to serious trouble. I ran into that line like I was hitting a brick wall. I could not cross it. I realized some years later that it was the Spirit of the Lord protecting me. I was always aware of the consequences if I continued too far in a wrong direction. Even though I did not want to go to church and be associated with hypocrites, I love my parents and had no desire to dishonor them. In fact, I received a lot of grace because of my parents. God gives grace to the humble, James 4:6. And they were humble and they received grace. They loved me. And that grace was passed on in my life. In farmer terms, I was mule-headed and I needed some adjustments. Dad had adjusted me for 17 years. He had not finished the job, so the work was not over. He turned it over to the Lord to use whatever means of adjustment he thought was necessary. Some mules require more effort to get their attention. I found out that the Lord had ways to get my attention. During that time, I had no doubt that I was still God's child, but I certainly had no joy. Psalm 16:11 says that in the presence of the Lord there is fullness of joy. And during those prodigal years, I was not in God's presence. I wanted nothing to do with the things of God. I did not have joy. I certainly did not want to be a preacher. When I got to the place where God's final adjustments were made in me, it was not pretty. Pressure brought me to the point that I finally broke before the Lord. I use the story of the prodigal son in my testimony because it matches my life. Luke 15:11-32. After my prodigal son experience, I quit fighting against God and accepted full responsibility for my sin. Galatians 6:7 says that whatever you sow, you will reap. I sowed to the flesh for years, but God held the crops back. The only exception to the sowing and reaping principle is that you can humble yourself, repent, confess your sin, and ask God to forgive you before the crops come in. He will forgive you and he can also cause some crop failure so that you do not reap everything you sow. Because I refused to do that for years, many crops came in all at the same time. I thought I could handle it, but soon realized I was unable to handle anything. When I finally humbled myself, my heart turned back to the Father. I made no excuses. The Holy Spirit came over me like waves of love. When the walls broke down inside me, I felt clean for the first time in years. Nothing separated me from God. I was in the presence of God and held in His arms. My relationship with Him was established again. God's peace that passes all understanding was evident. Philippians 4:7. He restored the joy of my salvation. Psalm 51:12. The question is now, are you going to get understanding yourself? Only those on the narrow way will tell you the truth. The teaching of Jesus was put in the hands of people ready to follow Him even unto death. Paul said in Ephesians 2:20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. We are building on those who suffered and died for their faith and their preaching. Paul told us to build carefully. 1 Corinthians 3:10-11. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. Verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If you've not made Jesus your functional Lord, you will perish if you do not repent. You cannot build on the correct foundation and you stop using your mind. Humble yourself. If you know that you have spiritualized all your actions and have only outward righteousness, then confess and rely on that grace now to give you time to repent and change. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:8-10, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. Verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Verse 10. but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which he bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. When you obey and repent of whatever the Holy Spirit shows you, God will give you eyes to see. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, I'm reading from verses 100 to 107. Psalm 119, verse 100. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. Verse 101. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep your word. Verse 102. I have not departed from thy judgment that thou hast taught me. Verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Verse 106. I have sworn I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. Verse 107. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Do not be intimidated by the world. You can even understand great mysteries and know more than some of the greatest minds by following Christ. The psalmist got his understanding from following God's way and not making any excuses for sin. You should repent for the right reason, because you love him. Make no excuses for disobedience. Paul used the grace of God and trusted in the precious promises of God, and God used him even more. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 20 and 21, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21. And if a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Paul passed on a lot of wisdom before he died because he had understanding. Paul gained knowledge of great mysteries, which was part of his calling as an apostle, that others did not get because they did not fully come to repentance. He got revelation because he was faithful to the truth. Even when he was in prison, he was still reaching out to the Gentiles. He made disciples and passed on something to every church. I believe Paul would never have wrote those letters if he was not in prison. As he often said in his letter, he planned to visit all the churches personally. But God's ways are higher than ours. You have a chance to pass on something to the next generation. It is part of your destiny. But you cannot pass on half-truth and lies. You have to start with repentance and following Christ, and through this get spiritual understanding. You cannot get God's understanding without repentance. Thinking is dangerous. You are in danger of falling from the faith if you keep using your minds trying to understand the things of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You need to stop using your mind. John speaks to the young believers and tells them to abide in order to be ready. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, you may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 4, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Verse 6, if a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Sin will get you out of his presence. It might seem that you cannot help sinning, but God can make a way of escape for you. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, they have no temptation taken you, but such is as common to man. For God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape, so that you may be able to bear it. Charles Finney never allowed anyone to respond to his message by raising their hand. He believed that someone needed to be ready for salvation first. He provided a nervous seat for all those who were seeking salvation. Then he had an after-inquiry meeting if they wanted to be saved. Each person was required to seek the minimum terms under which they were to be saved. The instructions Paul gave in the first church were clear. Acts chapter 16 and verse 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. In the Amplified Bible, the same scripture says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give yourself up to him. Take yourself out of your own keeping and entrust yourself into his own keeping, and you will be saved. Will you be ready when Jesus comes and be part of the first resurrection? All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can believe on the Savior Jesus Christ and still be left behind. When you believe and accept him as Lord of your life, there are three things you must do. Number one, give yourself up to him and establish him as Lord. Number two, do not look out for your own self, your own well-being, comfort in this temporal world. Number three, listen to his every instruction through the Holy Spirit so that he can fully take care of you and keep you. You can believe that Jesus is Lord in your mind and still not give yourself up to him, which means you do not believe in your heart. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth into righteousness, and with the mouth confess is made unto salvation. Even the devils know who Jesus is and tremble. If you are still sinning, being easily tempted, then he is not Lord of your life. Did you really believe that Jesus is the Son of God in your heart or just in your mind? Is Jesus just a figurehead Lord, or is he really the Lord of your life? The meaning of Lord in Strong's is number 2962. It means supreme in authority. That is controller. By implication, Sir, God, Lord, Master. Stop deceiving yourself. If he is not Lord, then how will you be saved? If he's Lord, then he will save and deliver you, and he will feed you and give you the fulfilled life. You can make a fresh start now. There is still time. If you want to have an obedient life, hear and get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend the book My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hitchcock. If you want to make a fresh start and get the foundations laid in your life right from the start with daily and regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hitchcock. You need to make sure that you get on and stay on the narrow path. The broad way that leads to destruction looks good. It is signposted heaven this way, and many well-meaning, good people attending church are on this road. I want to recommend The Gilded Prison by Joseph Hitchcock. The revised edition is now available in English. thinking is dangerous. You have a calling from God, and if He's called you, He is going to prepare you. He is going to finish that work. If you accept that God has a calling on your life, let go and let God. You're not going to do it by working out things with your natural mind. You've got to totally surrender yourself to the Holy Spirit. Let Him show you just any sin, any area that needs to be dealt with. You don't know what that represents in the future, how that's going to change your destiny, how that's going to change your heart and mind, your thinking even. And if you let the Holy Spirit shine in your heart and repent of whatever He shows you, He will make you into that vessel that will change the world and you'll become the person that God wants you to be. I pray that you surrender all, that you repent of your foolishness using your mind. Repent of that before it's too late. Jesus is coming. Let me pray with you right now. Father in heaven, for everyone who's listening to this message, and you're burning in their hearts right now, Father, if they will truly by faith grab hold of these precious promises, and they will trust in your Holy Spirit to lead and direct them, that you're going to use them for greater good, and they will be used mightily and do great things. But Father, most of all, I pray that they will listen carefully to your voice, because you're speaking all the time. Use these books that they're going to read to really help them, I pray, in Jesus' name as well. Amen. God bless you. I hope you really enjoyed this message. If you want to be in touch with us, the contacts of the ministry will follow, and there's also a summary of all the things I've said today and the scriptures. God bless you. Have a great day.